second to get there. I told you this morning that was a perfect church service. I said it was, I don't even know what I write half time. It's a powerful church service was the title of the message. Trying to go off my memory, I knew it started with a P. This text is, man, I haven't preached on this in a long time. I've used it a couple times. It's a pretty unique little story in the Bible. And I, you know, as we all say, you know, nothing's in there just taking up space. I mean, there's nothing in there that's not important. There's something there for us. And so I want us to look in Acts chapter 20, verse 6. Luke being the writer, he said, "And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. There were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, embracing him, and said, Trouble not yourself, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again, he had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day. So he departed, and they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted." Heavenly Father, thank you again for our fellowship time, and just thank you that we do have a place, a comfortable place to meet, that's air-conditioned and got soft seats, and we're thankful for all that, Lord, but we just pray for the preaching of your word tonight, that go forth with power, conviction, Lord, speak to each heart that's here, and you know every need, Lord, every need for us, and we'll thank you for those things in advance. What you going to do tonight, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. A powerful church service, a powerful church service. You know, we see in Acts, and you know, it's kind of in the middle of some narrative there, and so just getting us up to speed, verse 16 tells us that Paul and the ones that were with him, they were unable to make it to Jerusalem for the Passover. So now their goal was to make it there by Pentecost. They were trying to make it there by Pentecost. And, you know, we see, like I said, it's a short text. I don't know how long the message will be. I will tell you it's going to be short and then it'll be long. And so I don't know how long it'll be. But it's got a lot to say in just a few verses that I wrote, you know, and we're going to see some things. We'll see some powerful preachers, a powerful fellowship, powerful message, and a powerful Holy Ghost. And those are the points that I want to talk to you about. Like I say, not many verses, but we can tell a lot of things about the verses. You know, when we went through Wednesday night studying how to study the Bible, man, that really makes you stop and bring some things out. You can see it's helped me along the way, and all of us as we read the Word and look at Scriptures there, and we'll see some things with that tonight. So very first thing we see some powerful preachers. Verse 6, the narrative, it says, "And we sailed away from Philippi." So we know that Paul's there already. And there's a pronoun change there to we and us after verse 6. And we know, you know, when we studied that, we learned, well, we got to figure out who we is. And we know from the book of Acts, the beginning of the book of Acts, that Luke is the writer of the book of Acts. So Luke said we. So when Luke said we, that means he's there. That tells us right off the bat that Luke is present. We've got the Apostle Paul. We've got Luke there. And then above that, there's a whole list of people that accompanied Paul right there. It says, Sopater there, Berea, and the Thessalonians, Aristarchus, Secundus, Gaius, Timotheus, who is Timothy, and then Tychicus and Trophimus. There is along with them, and probably I'd say probably Titus is in that, is with them on that journey right there as well. So I mean, man, we got you know, what a crew they had coming there for church service, man. I mean, they had a lineup, you know, the who's who of preachers, the very men that the Lord Himself had chose to establish the church. I mean, these guys were going to be there. They've been there a week already. They stayed and they fellowship with the believers, which I think that's an important thing. They preached the gospel. They were there to serve the people. God was in them, and God was using these guys. They had already been. Now, these guys had already been, if you study along there real quick, just you can look around back and forth on each side of this text and these texts, and you'll find out they'd already been to Corinth. They've already been to Athens. Paul was at Ephesus for 3 years. He stayed there 3 years teaching the people at church at Ephesus. Then Macedonia. They were about to, after this, they were going to go to Syria. They were going to go to Miletus, Tyre, Jerusalem, and eventually Paul would get to Rome. And so, I mean, they were going all over the place. They had, now listen, these were people like you and I. I mean, they had jobs and things, like everybody had responsibilities. But the point is that they had been saved, and now they've got the message of salvation. Man, the church was just getting started. And, you know, and I don't know that as far as you and I go, that fact doesn't change a thing for us. I mean, we've got the message of salvation. They weren't sitting at home, you know, in the Lazy Boy with a pizza crust on their belly. They were going out. They said, man, we're going to take the good news. We got something to share, something exciting about things. And, man, listen, there they went. Man, they just went. They went wherever they were needed. Man, they told people. The Holy Spirit had filled them, empowered them. They went where God led them to go. And boy, and then God used them in a powerful way. Now listen, all these guys weren't pastors. That, you know, maybe out of that group right there, I know maybe two. That's it. The rest of them might have been just lay people that were serving God to some capacity or wanted to go out and share the gospel. They just went out and shared the gospel. I mean, this is it, man. They were believers, man. These people have been saved at the same Holy Spirit that Paul had, the same Holy Spirit that Peter had, and Luke, and the big guns that we know who they are, man. So there they were, man. They were. It was a powerful preachers, and I don't know how big the church was. I don't think it was all that big. I mean, really, I think it was a smaller church. So they were meeting in a house. You know, and I'll say something about that again. They were probably meeting in a house. Obviously, they're in some upper chamber, or they were in a house where there was an upper chamber and people had to spread out in there. But boy, we had some powerful preachers there. They had something to say. God was using them. I mean, that's the difference right there today. And, you know, it doesn't matter. Just because we have churches all over the place, there's still people all over the place that haven't heard the gospel. They don't know. You know, Wednesday night I shared with you, just, you know, some of you were here. A girl comes in with Ted and them. Ted said, hey, this girl wants to get saved. We ain't got started. You know, I told Sherry, I said, well, hey, Ted, go in there and talk to her. Lead her to, you know, lead her to the Lord. And she got saved, lives in Martinsville, I think. And so I encouraged her there. Did you give her that little book, Ted? Ah, man. All right, I got another one. We'll get it to her somehow. All right, but I had something I want to give to her, and I told her to get plugged into a church there. And we talked to her. But there's people everywhere like that. We don't have to go all the way to Martinsville to find somebody lost. There's people lost all of them down this street right here, all of them down this road. Go out there and share the gospel with them. Get them in, you know, get them into church. So they had powerful preachers. They had something to say. Well, listen, we're all called to go into all the world and preach the gospel, right? We should have something to say. If you're saved, you got something to say. And they had something. So I'll talk about that in a minute. The second thing we see, they had powerful fellowship. It said in verse 7, and upon the first day of the week. Now, I know when you go back in the early part of Acts, and we're only in chapter 20, which was, that's some time back. But you go up there in the early part of Acts chapter 2 and 4, man, they were meeting at church they met every day, and they usually had church at night. You know, we don't get as many people, although our Sunday night service is picking up some, and some of the Wednesday night thing is too. But you know, they met at night because people didn't have the weekend off. They didn't know what a weekend. They didn't have a weekend to them. Just was another day. You know, they went to work every day. They were working, man. But they came to church at night, just about always at night. But it was on the first day of the week. That was Sunday, man. The Lord's Day. I mean, there's people that think, you know, you ought to go to church on Saturday. And some people say, well, it don't matter what day you go as long as you go. But I don't know. The disciples met on the Lord's Day. You know why they call it the Lord's Day? It was because of the day the Lord resurrected. It was a resurrection day. You know, the Jews' Sabbath day was a holy day. They didn't do any work on the Sabbath day, but that was the day for them. But boy, when we got to the New Testament, it was Sunday, the Lord's Day. It was the resurrection day. Guess what? The Holy Spirit fell and empowered, fell on and empowered the church on the first day of the week, on Sunday. Man, things were going on Sunday. And they came there, and it said that they came to break bread. They would break bread. Now, they would do it a little bit different in those days. Sometimes we used to do some of this. We have done it along the way. What they would do is they would come together for a meal. They'd have a regular old meal, and then they would take the communion part of it, where they broke the bread, unleavened bread, and the wine. They did that. But they would have a meal, together. Everybody got together. There was fellowship that was, part of the church life, which it is part of church life. It's an important part of church life, as a matter of fact. So this is a powerful church because of these things. And so, like I say, man, they worked all day. They was tired. Huh? They were tired. It was Sunday evening, no doubt. It was they had lights in the upper chamber, so we know it was night. Huh? It was Sunday evening. They worked all. They didn't get time off. They didn't get days off. Some of them were slaves. This boy Eutychus that fell out of the window, he might have been a slave. He might have been a young slave. Maybe he was, had worked all day as well. But here, there, some of them were slaves and some of them were masters. Some of them were poor and some of them were wealthy. Some of them were educated and some of them were not. Listen to this. They didn't have a church building. They didn't have like what we got. They didn't have air conditioning. Huh? Hot in that part of the country can be at certain times of year. Somebody's house. But the thing was, they were one in Christ. This was it. What was bringing them together? Man, it was the Word of God. It was the fellowship. But I think the Word of God was an important thing, important part of that. And here was the odd thing. Man, when they got together, here they were, slaves and masters that were saved. The ones that got saved, they're all in the same church. Guess what? They sat down and ate together. At the love, they'd have a love feast, they'd call it, or later on in the New Testament, they called it the love feast. They sat down and ate together, the masters eating with the slaves. Well, that wasn't done. That wasn't done normally. You didn't eat with the help. You didn't eat with the help. Huh? But it didn't matter there. See, because they all became one, and they sat down with one another, and they had a meal. They were brothers and sisters in Christ, Jews and Gentiles. The church started expanding later on, Jews and Gentiles. This was an odd thing. You don't think the racial issues in the United States was rough in the 60s. It wasn't nothing like Jews and Gentile. But they wouldn't even, if they touched each other, the Jews were unclean for till sundown and had to do some washing. And, they would go out of their way to go around Samaria, and we were half Jews. And all the, it was just a different thing. But God was changing relationships. He changed the relationships between man and himself. And then he changed the relationship between men and each other. That was because he's love, right? And there it was. So here they were, Jew and Gentile, black and white, all nationalities, whatever they had, they all came together. They were all on one thing. The ethnic groups were more separated in those days too. There was caste system, so to speak. The wealthy stayed together, and there wasn't really probably a middle class. There was wealthy and real poor. You were one of the two, and they didn't mingle either. But here they did in the church. There they were, and the Bible tells they had all things. They had all things in common, and they had all things in common with God, and they had communion with each other, and they had communion with God. That's what church is all about. That's what it's all for. Doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter what your nationality is, your ethnicity. I don't believe in race, different races. I think there's just one. It's the human race. But there's different ethnicities. I know that, it didn't matter what it was. That it shouldn't matter, and it shouldn't matter. Huh? Something wrong. I've heard Harold say this. There's something wrong with the church when everybody looks the same, talks the same, smells the same. Everything. There's something wrong. We got to reach everybody, whoever we can, all kind of different groups, of people. I shared with some of you one time before when I first got saved. I went to the Mountaineer Camp Baptist Camp Meeting up there in Princeton, West Virginia, as a church near Maranatha Baptist Church. In our church, they went up there, man. First time I ever went to something like that. Just hadn't been saved all that long. We're going. We got a hotel room. I took off from work, went up there, man, and we went in and. And it was about 500 people in there, man. It was great. We went to preaching in the morning. We went to breakfast, and we went to preaching in the morning. You knew they was Baptist because food. and then they preach from like 10 to 12, and then we go to lunch. And then you went home and you took it back to the hotel and you took a nap. And then when you got up and you went to supper, and then you went down there, buddy, and they was preaching at 7. They'd have two preachers. They'd preach, man, and it was singing and all that. And on the last night, man, it was a real big deal. And they sang the song, you know, it was on a Monday. Somebody touched me and everybody was a clapping. You got up on whatever day you got saved on. And then they had fellowship time. And everybody, I was a brand new Christian, man. I had my brand new white shirt on, my brand new haircut, and cut my shaggy looking hair so I'd look like a Christian, and had my mustache all trimmed up. And I looked around and there was a guy in the back, and he looked like a homeless person. An older guy, man. He was just standing back there by on the back wall. His hands, man, was knotted up, knuckles looking, man. And you know, he was unkept looking, and I'm not sure when his bath was the last time, but he was in there, man, and nobody was shaking that guy's hand. Nobody. I got convicted, man. I was a brand new Christian, man. I hadn't quenched the spirit enough to where I couldn't hear him. I hadn't calloused my heart enough to where I couldn't feel it. I said, man, I'm going, man, I made my way back there. I blew by all them other people. I went up there and I shook his hand. I said, glad you're here. Glad to see you. Didn't know that, man. I felt bad about that. But you know, he's shunned, man. That shouldn't be, man. That shouldn't be that way. I don't care what they look like when they come in the door, man. If they come in, as long as they ain't buck naked, we got to get them something to put on. I mean, we need to, you know, make them feel welcome. I think that's an important thing. That's the way church is. And it was a powerful church because of the fellowship that the church had. That made it the main thing. And then the third thing is, and I think this is important, is a powerful message. It was a powerful message. I don't know what the preach was, but he preached all night, just about. The place was packed out. Now get to seeing. The place is packed out. It's packed out. You got a guy sitting up in the third loft, sitting up in the windowsill, because the place is packed, right? What was the attraction? It was the Word of God, buddy. That was all they had. Listen, and I've felt this my whole life, my whole preaching life. I have felt this. I always thought that the preaching of the Word of God, this is the preeminent thing that we're going to do. Amen. Is we're going to get in the Word of God. I've always thought that. But I'm telling you, people today, man, you got to throw them a bone, man. I mean, if they're not, you know, if we just had preaching, if we just preach the Word, we just come in, how y'all doing? We prayed and preached. I mean, we shake everybody, how you doing? Everybody, welcome everybody, sit down. And we didn't have no special singing, and we didn't have some kind of entertainment and some kind of clown. If you did that, you wouldn't have nobody. Not in this day and time, I mean, I talk to people all around. Well, I go to such and such a church. Well, how do you like it? How do you like the service? Oh, boy, the singing over there is just great. Oh, the singing is just so good. Oh, really? Oh, yeah, and they got a coffee shop like you wouldn't believe. And I mean, man, it's so good. And you say, well, how was the preaching? It was all right. Yeah, it's all right. I mean, it's not the first thing out of their mouth. Matter of fact, it don't come out of their mouth until you say, well, how was the preaching? And they say, oh, yeah, it's not preeminent. See, it's not preeminent. Oh, the singing. Well, there's nothing wrong with good singing. I like good singing. I'd rather listen to good singing than bad singing any day of the week. But I mean, and I like it. It's good. It was great. The girls got up here and sang. But this can't be the attraction. Well, try it. Just try having preaching. And you don't give them a biscuit. And you don't give them some kind of entertainment, smoke, mares, and all that. Just try that and see what happens. You know, I'm going to tell you what, if anything happens, you know good and well God's in it. You know good and well God's in it. That was it. It was the Word of God. It wasn't the meal. It wasn't the fellowship. Listen, I guarantee you they didn't have a piano like us. They didn't have a piano, and they didn't have a CD player either. They didn't have that. I bet you they didn't have a praise team with a band with drums and all that. They didn't have that. I'm not knocking these things. I'm just telling you what they didn't have. Huh? They didn't have, but they had God. They didn't have a band. They didn't have a choir. They didn't have no special singer. They didn't have video presentation up here. No smoke, no disco balls, no coffee shop, no t-shirts. They didn't have a nursery, and they didn't have junior church. I'm not against those things. Well, how in the world did they do it? Huh? Because we're soft. Tell you why, because they was tough. And people work. We're soft, man. We done got soft. You got to cater to everybody, man. I mean, this is it. This is what we got to. Think about it. They had no nothing but preaching They had the Holy Spirit of God. They had the Word of God. And they didn't have the Word of God that you and I have. They didn't have it. I mean, man, listen, I'm going to tell you what. You know, there was nothing going on. And it said that Paul preached to midnight, up until midnight, with no Bible. Might have had some Old Testament scriptures, might not. What did he say? He didn't have a New Testament at all. The New Testament wasn't even written. He didn't have Acts chapter 26 through 12. He was making it, but he didn't have it. Think about it. What did he say? I'll tell you, man, listen, I'll tell you how he how in the world, without a word of God, did he preach all the way to midnight? And beyond, because it said that he stopped preaching when the guy fell out the window. I'm getting ahead of myself. They stopped preaching when the guy went out the window, but then they stayed and they talked to the break of day. Now, I don't know if any preaching was involved in that or not, but I know he preached at least up till midnight and maybe a little bit longer than that. I'll tell you how he did it. He knew Jesus. Amen. He knew Jesus. Not by reading about Jesus. But, I mean, he had met Jesus. All them guys, they had Christ in their life. God had done something in their life, and they could talk all night long about Jesus without having a single note. They didn't need an outline. They didn't need a Wiersbe's commentary. They didn't need the internet. They didn't need a phone. They didn't need a thesaurus. They didn't need a Greek, Hebrew, New Testament dictionary. Huh? They just preached because they knew Jesus and they knew him in here and they could talk all day about Jesus all the way tonight without nothing. Amen. Now, I ain't against notes. My memory's so bad. If I had 3 points in my head, I'd forget five of them before I got the three out, right? I'm not kidding. I told him today, this morning, yeah, tonight I'm going to be preaching on the perfect church service. I guess I said, no, it ain't. It's a powerful church service. I just wrote it down. I just wrote the title down this morning. But here it was. They didn't have to read out of a book. You know, reading out of a book, man, you didn't have to do that. They didn't have to tell about somebody else's testimony. Yeah, well, I had this story back in 1886, and this old boy was riding along the road, and then the Lord showed up. No, they had their own testimony. They said, listen, I'm going to tell you what God did for me. And God did something. They had an experience, and they had experienced the filling of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you what, according to the Word of God, this is how it works. He said, listen, you just open your mouth, and I'm going to put the words in there, and if you don't believe it, just open your mouth and try. And he started talking, boy, and God, they could preach Christ all night long because they had Christ preaching through them all night long. That's how they could do it. And I'm going to tell you what, they had a testimony, and I'm going to tell you what, it wasn't all about healing either. Now, you get a testimony today, well, you know, I had a hangnail in 1942, boy, but God, boy, he gave me the victory over that, and I have it. That's all we got nothing but physical healing. Listen. Paul didn't have it. As a matter of fact, Paul's testimony was that God didn't heal him. That was his. Who gives that up? Huh? Who jumps up and said, well, preacher, I got cancer, but praise God, God didn't heal me of it. But he's getting me through. Nobody says that. And then what we say if they get healed? Oh, God is good. God was good if you didn't get healed. God was good before you got cancer. God was good when you got cancer. God was good if you don't get over it. I mean, he's good if he heals you. I mean, he's still good. He's always good, but we always got a God is good testimony followed by God doing something good for you. And God is good if he doesn't ever do another thing good for you except the fact that he saved you and that he loves you and that he gave you his Holy Spirit. God is good. You know, he's still good. And so Paul's testimony was, well, I had an affliction and I asked the Lord 3 times about it and he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And guess what? While he's preaching, he's still got the affliction right here. That was his testimony. That was a testimony he had. Man, I tell you what, I believe this is what I believe. You know, people say, well, how come people don't go out and witness more about Jesus? Oh, everybody said, well, preacher, we scared. Huh? Scared around here. Huh? We scared. Why don't people? No, that ain't it. Mm-mm. That's not it. I'm not saying you're not scared, but that's not the reason of going witness. The number one reason is because you don't have a personal testimony. Huh? You know, you can't tell them, hey, somebody give me something to praise about. Go ahead, Daryl, hit the crickets. You got them ready? You got them keyed up? My crickets. Somebody give me a testimony. That's it. That's it. Why? Because they don't know what God did for them. Hey, I'm breathing. Huh? This is it. This is it. Because, you know, when you got something, how many of y'all, when you got something exciting to say good night, you'll blow everybody's phone up in the church. Huh? You get in one of them text messages, a group one, and everybody's going, praise God, bless her heart. And it's all going back and forth. My phone goes, deep, 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 deep. Huh? Shh, deer's coming. It blows up. They can't stop from telling you about it. Everybody's telling you about it. Well, man, listen, when Jesus did something in your life, you shouldn't be able to shut up about it. You should be able to tell somebody about what God has done, man. And you go out there and tell them, and you got a testimony then. But see, what happens, a lot of people, everything we know is secondhand. We read about, Jonathan Edwards, and we read about G. Campbell Morgan, and we read about all these old saints and all these. Well, great, that happened when? 18 what? God hadn't done nothing since then? And this is it. So we get it. We're giving everybody secondhand stuff. We can read what's going on in the Bible, but we don't tell them what's going on with us either. But Paul and then those other guys, all of them guys, they could talk all night about Jesus because Jesus was talking all night through them. And I said, like I said, I still think that the Word of God ought to be a priority in everything. I like the singing. I wish we had a piano player. I like all that to be good, worship. But something, we got to the point now, we don't, you know, if you ask somebody, give me a definition, you go ask young people, the newer generation, the Christians, what's worship? Singing. We were having a worship. It was during worship time. What do you mean? When we were all singing, that's what they think. Huh? Worship, you could be sitting silent. You could be in prayer. You could be serving God. You could be preaching the Word. You can be reading the Word. You can be meditating. That's all worship. It could all be worship. It's not just singing. Singing's part of it. But that's what we got to the point. We just think it's singing. That's the only thing. But I think the preaching of the Word. Listen, by the preaching of the Word shall men be saved. And that's it. And If we quit preaching the Word, and unfortunately, listen, I'll read outlines and stuff from preachers, and you know what, they come up and they read the text, and then they give you these stories and funny little things to say and this and that and all kinds of stories, nothing expounded in the Word of God. Nothing, it's not the Word of God. Nothing wrong with using an illustration or having a story that goes along with it, but that's all you got. You don't have nothing with the Word, and the Word of God's not expounded. I'm going to tell you what, the church is going to shrivel up and die. We can stay home and get entertained. We got TV that can be on 24 hours a day with 150 choices to look at something or more, right? We don't have to have that. So I think they had powerful preaching, and that was the attraction at the church. And then we see the fourth thing, the power of the Holy Ghost. This place was packed out by people, like I said before, and they were waiting to hear from God. They were tired. It was hot. It was nighttime. They wanted to hear the Word of God. And, no excuses, though. They showed up. Man, they'd all probably could have fell asleep somewhere. This old boy we read about, he fell out of the window. That's the only reason we knew he fell asleep. Huh? Somebody else might have nodded out, but you know, they worked hard, man. And like I say, up there, the atmosphere was such, they had a bunch of lamps lit, so the heat goes up. They say there's a term for it, and I forget what it is, but it has to do when the oxygen starts getting sucked out a little bit by all those flames, makes you droopy. We'll talk about that. And this Eutychus sat up there in a window. And I preached on this one time, and I used some speculation on it. I don't want to pick on the guy, but I mean, just some things we don't know. You know, thank God he was there, right? He was there. He got there. Now, I said, well, one time, maybe he was running. Maybe he was late. Maybe he got there late. Now, maybe he had to work late. Maybe he was a slave boy, and he just had to get done with the master when he got there, and there wasn't any place to sit, but he got up there in the windowsill. Maybe that was it. But on the other hand, maybe not. Maybe he was just messing around, had some other priority, something else. But he finally drug himself down there to the worship service. Maybe he got there late. I don't know. Maybe he had to work hard, work late for his master. I don't know. And I preached this one time, probably the first time I ever used this. I said, you know, he was sitting up in the windowsill. How come he didn't fall back into the building? Instead, he fell out. Now, I don't know this. I'm just using it. I'm going to use it in a way of application. But a lot of people fall out of church. Not too many people fall in. You ever notice that? They just don't fall in. Man, I was out there, just out there in the world, man, goofing off. And man, I don't know what happened. I just got sick of it and I just fell in church. No, that didn't happen. But he was maybe looking out there at the window instead of looking in here at the preacher. See? And he get to looking, you know, whichever way you're looking. And he got all sleepy-eyed. It was something out there maybe attracting him. I don't know this. I'm just saying. Probably what happened, he was paying just as much attention. Everybody worked hard all day, couldn't keep his eyes open no longer, and he just fell out the window. That's probably what happened, but I'm just using this as an illustration. Because what happens? When people fall out of church, it's usually not all at once. It's usually gradual. And I can spot it, man. People get in a mode and a mood and a mode. You'll see. You know, they get in at first and boy, everything's new and exciting, man. They're in everything. Sign up for everything. Sign up on every sheet they got out there. Going to help. Even want you to do something extra. You know, maybe we could have another prayer meeting sometime. Well, next thing you know, that fizzles out. Then the next thing you know, they quit coming to Sunday school. And then they quit coming on Sunday night. And then they quit coming on Wednesday night. And then they miss a Sunday on Sunday morning, you know. And then before long, they miss a couple. And then before long, they're missing more than they're coming. Now, see, they're in it, man. They're hooked up in the group. Now, there's some people that fight through, and they still show up every 5 weeks, whether you need them or not. But there's a lot of people that don't. And there's a lot of people, when they get that far along, man, they're out. They're out. Next thing you know, they're gone. What happened? And I've gone all around this place. Me and Stanley, man, we used to go all over the place and visit folks and everybody in Botetourt County. We used to go to church, man, a long time ago. Well, what happened? I don't know. This is what a lot of them said. I don't know. Just kind of fell out of it. Just quit. Just quit going. Just got out of the habit. Well, you got out of the habit because you quit going. This is what happened. And I'm telling you, the whole county's full of people like that. Full of people like that. They fell out. So things on the outside started being more interesting than the things on the inside. And you get out there and you start looking out the window, you know, at the world. You start looking at things. Say, look, they're all going down to the river, man. They got the canoes and all that on it. You know, we ought to do that. Randy, we ought to do that. Next Sunday, man, I bet you, let's go fishing next Sunday. Huh? I mean, it's, you know, we can worship God out in the woods on the river. I mean, God made the creation, right? We don't have to, huh? We can go out there. Look at that. There they go. They're all having fun. Looking out the window and you're not looking in. And what happens? You're not going to fall in. You're going to fall out. And that's exactly what happened. Now, I don't know that that's what he did. Probably not. I just think the boy, I'm going to give him credit, man. He was there. He was tired. He was probably somebody's slave buddy, and he just couldn't keep his old droopy eyes open. And some of y'all are like that sometimes. And I try to cut it a little short if I can, or holler real loud to see if I can get you woke up. But, you know, he was there. But he fell out of the third loft, and the Bible says he was dead. The first guy that ever got preached to death. Right here in the Bible. He fell out and he was dead. How you know? Because Luke's a doctor and Luke said he was dead. Huh? He knew what a dead man looked like, and the Bible said he was dead. And Paul ran down there, man, right there. He put it on hold. See, like Carrie gonna have a baby. All of a sudden, she says, "Ooh!" Hear a big noise over here. Time out. We're gonna go over here, deliver the baby. Then we'll go back over here, and we'll finish preaching, man. Huh? See, the service. This thing's coming in right on time. This message came in right on time. I didn't realize that, you know, Carrie was supposed to have the baby yesterday. And but you know, the point is, they didn't let it interrupt the church service for that long. They took care of it, man. But what? Guess what? Right in the middle of that church service, nobody expected, number one, nobody expected somebody to fall out of the window in the middle of the church service and die. So you don't know what's going to happen at church, right? Nobody expected that to happen. The second thing they didn't expect, Paul went down there and embraced him, kind of like some of the old prophets did. Sometimes they'd lay on somebody they grabbed. He embraced him and said, oh, hey, his life is back in him. He was really dead. His life came back in him. He laid on right there and prayed. Huh? Woo! You got something to talk about now? Can you preach till midnight now? Then you go back and say, man, we was in church. You ain't going to believe what happened to this guy. Man, he fell out and he was dead, man. And Paul went down there and boy, I mean, you could feel the Spirit of God moving. Huh? Listen, there's a lot of dead people in here. I might have to go out here and hug about half of you. You ever go out there and lay a hug on you there and the Holy, oh, they revived, huh? They came right on up. Oh, man, listen. Nobody expected it. And I don't know that we expect a whole lot when we come to church, really. You know, Pastor Frank used to say that. Pastor that was here before me. He said, buddy, I'll tell you what. He said, if you aim low, you'll hit it every time. You know, your expectations. If you don't expect much. You aim low, guess what? If you don't expect much, you won't be disappointed, right? But if you aim high, what if you expected something? Man, God's going to move. Man, that'd be exciting. I bet you the next time they came there to preach, woo, man, they went down there. Hey, it don't matter if you fall asleep and fall out. Don't worry, they'll take care of it. If you fall on your head. But just think about it. If we expected something to happen, you know, expectation, man, they had that. So what are you expecting when you come, man? You know, this was a powerful church. I think, I don't know that they weren't expecting it. I just said that. It might not have been a big deal. I mean, they said they was excited, said they had joy and all that. But there might have been some of them there and said, ah, well, it wasn't no big deal. He fell out and died. We knew God was going to raise him back up. I mean, man, it'd be nice to be so used to God working in a powerful way like that. I don't know that we'd want to lose the excitement. We haven't got any danger of that, losing the excitement of that. But they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. Man, there was some excitement about that nobody died in church. I'll be excited if you don't die here too. That would be good there. But man, listen, think about it. The Word of God is just as powerful as it was. And we got more of the Word of God than they got. We've got the canonized book right here. They didn't have it all. We got that. We have the same Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit of God is working today and working in a church service just like this. Amen. Huh? Amen. This Holy Spirit's moving right now, man. I mean, He can resurrect you from whatever deadness you have in your life, spiritual death, physical death. He can resurrect from all that. Holy Spirit just as powerful as He was then. But do you expect anything? Paul preached a long sermon. Everybody said, oh, man, I know. I remember, man, being here, you know, when the watches, everybody got them set at 12 o'clock. I've had people, I had people before this has happened. If I preach like sometimes, you know, about 30, 35 minutes normal, I'm like, this probably went longer than I thought it would go, but glare at me. And like this is, say this is the pulpit. We'll reverse this around. And they walk by like here. Going to, you know, how long do you preach? I preach till I'm done. I preach till I'm done. I mean, but you sit up and watch a three-hour movie. Sit up and watch a three-hour football game, baseball game, whatever, for hours. You preach a long time. Bothers people. Get up and leave. See, get up and leave in the middle of everything. I think, you know what the parents do? They get them over there and say, man, I'm tired of sitting in here and pinch the fire out of the kid. Oh, I'm crying. I got to take it over there. I got to go, man. Run out of here. His baby's sick. I got to go home, man. That's it. Paul preached, man, what keeps you awake? What keeps you awake, really? What a powerful church service they had. Just a little old a Sunday night church service with no regular church building, no frills, no nothing. Just some preachers that knew the Lord, some people that knew the Lord. Man, they got in there and they were hungry for the Word of God, and they heard, man, he preached till midnight, and I don't know what he said, but it was good. Huh? Maybe God put that boy to sleep just so he could work. He said, I'm gonna stir these people up tonight. Huh? knocked that boy out there on the street. And Paul went down there, and man, the Holy Ghost, boy, they went home. I bet you nobody. It said they talked. Look what it said. Look what it said. Wherefore, it says, and wherefore, when he was come up again, talking about that boy, and had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till the break of day. They stayed up the rest of the night talking. They didn't even go to sleep. Who could go to sleep after a church service like that? And boy, and so he departed. Oh, man, what a church service that is. Huh? That's the way it ought to be. That's the way it can be. That's the way it should be. Anything less is way below what God expects a church service to be. Anything less than that, it's the way it ought to be. And that wasn't out of the ordinary. That wasn't an out of the ordinary thing. This is what it ought to be every time we have church. Amen. Amen. Come on up here, Paul. Before they fall out the window, and because I'm not an apostle, so I don't know that I can lay on you. And Paul was an apostle. We don't have an apostle today. You fall out and die here, you may just stay dead.